This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for an evening of theater, a look at next season's Broadway in New Orleans series, or an evening of song with an up-and-coming jazz vocalist, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. Second Star New Orleans is gearing up for its fourth annual Two for Tennessee, the Tricentennial Edition. The Performance Collective will premiere two original one-act plays by New Orleans-based writers inspired by the life and legacy of Tennessee Williams. Directors Harold Gervais and Megan Kosmowski are here with a sneak peek. Welcome.
Hello, Diane.
Hey, Diane.
Your celebration of Tennessee Williams, Two for Tennessee, runs concurrent with the annual literary festival that bears his name. There are a bevy of theatrical offerings of iconic works by the masterful playwright around town, but your premiere takes a different twist on Tennessee. How so?
The thought that I had was I want to pay tribute to Tennessee Williams while we also do something new. So the brief to the writers is really simple. Find something in Tennessee Williams' life or his work, his letters, his plays, his prose, his poetry, that strikes a chord and write a play out of that. So it's two one-act plays for Tennessee.
And what in Tennessee Williams' canon inspired this year's offerings?
The show that I'm directing is called How to Build a City. It's based on a poem he wrote called The Soft City. And the poetry is always something I hand out to writers because I think it's among his most consistent work. And then Megan's show by Michael Santos called Blue Roses is based on
a short 5-minute play called Every 20 Minutes. And what really drew Michael to it was the dynamic between the couple that was featured in the play.
You know, we try and have a diverse set of programming, and our two shows couldn't be more different. Yet when you're done, it's like, yeah, I can kind of see where those came from the same mind. It's interesting to watch that unfold.
So let's take them one by one. Let's start with you, Megan.
Blue Roses, it's a beautiful little play about a couple during a Mardi Gras parade that actually end up breaking up by the end of the play.
Spoilers.
Spoilers. You can kind of tell. Michael Santos was really drawn to the spirit of New Orleans that is represented a lot in Tennessee Williams' plays. He wanted to encapsulate the magic, but also the grittiness of the city. And also how Tennessee Williams really captures sentiment. So often his characters are really trying to find peace or beauty or understanding within themselves. And as the quote from Tennessee Williams goes, all they really have to hold on to is sentiment.
My piece, How to Build a City, I approached Jesse Strauss, the writer, who's also a poet. I knew I wanted to do something kind of tricentennial influenced. I knew I wanted to do a one-person show, so I kind of gave that criteria to Jessie, and she came back with this story of Sasha, who is a guardian with the world building. Basically, there are guardians for every city, and our guardian has been watching over New Orleans for 300 years. And it starts off this really kind of wacky aunt, and then the show kind of takes a turn, and it's very much a blues for New Orleans. And in some ways, it's kind of a blues for humanity, where the guardian's bosses, there's a kind of a corporate structure to the play. It's kind of interesting. The bosses are just wondering why we're still down here being us, humanity, when we mess everything up. And the guardian is very much our humanity's advocate to the higher power. So it ends up being this kind of dark, apocalyptic comedy. Because, you know, the best comedies are apocalyptic. Jesse's just got this beautiful ear, and there's some language in there that is truly gorgeous and poetic. And our Sasha is Mary Pauley, who's, I think, one of the two or three best actors in the city. Mary's just amazing.
And who are the actors in Blue Roses?
Julie Dietz, Joe Seibert, and Mint Bryan. Great New Orleans actors who are in the younger New Orleans scene.
What are your thoughts as your idea to create new works inspired by Tennessee Williams' life and legacy is actually taking root in this community?
We're 4 years in. I've got my writers lined up already for next year, and I've got offers to writers lined up for 2020.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's like all of a sudden, you know, next year will be 10 shows. it blows my mind that we've come as far as we did. The first year, we did it 3 weekends, and it wasn't the greatest success, but we liked the idea, and we kind of cut it down to the 4 days. And second year, we just started selling out. Fourth annual, great, let's go. There are so many good writers here in the city, and there really aren't a lot of venues to have their work performed in front of people. So I just think, you know, the show kind of serves a need in the community.
It gives a chance to really showcase artists that are creating here and that are inspired by the past of New Orleans, by past writers, and by the spirit that is within the city.
And there's nothing cooler to me than original work. You know, you are discovering something that has never been discovered before. And I just think that's cool.
Directors Harold Gervais and Megan Kosmowski, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you so much, Diane.
Thanks. This is a pleasure.
Second Star New Orleans presents Two for Tennessee, the tricentennial edition. Original one-act plays by New Orleans writers inspired by Tennessee Williams. Performances run March 21st through 24th at NOCA, 2800 Charter Street. More info at eventbrite.com. At the Sanger Theater, a stellar lineup anchored by the smash hit Hamilton will headline the 2018-2019 Broadway in New Orleans season, presented by the New Orleans Theater Association. Sanger General Manager David Skinner joins us. Welcome back.
Diane, it's a pleasure to be here again.
Last time we talked, it was May, and you were announcing that the national tour of the Broadway mega-hit musical Hamilton would soon play the Sanger Theater. At that time, the musical was being secured, and it was way too early to buy tickets. Are we moving a little closer to the arrival of Hamilton?
We are. Hamilton's going to arrive in New Orleans on March 12 to 31, pause for effect, 2019. And the best way to secure tickets right now is through subscription. Single tickets won't go on sale until probably sometime in early 2019, based upon what might be available. So I am telling everyone, if you want to secure tickets to see Hamilton, the best way is to subscribe for the season.
If not, we'll have to wait until maybe January?
Tickets probably will go on sale late February of 2019.
Why is this show about one of the country's founding fathers, Alexander Hamilton, so popular?
Well, you know, it's the story of Hamilton. He was an immigrant from the West Indies. He was George Washington's right-hand man during the Revolutionary War, and he was our first Treasury Secretary. Went on to do great things for the country, but the show itself, I think, is what is so different because it blends jazz, hip-hop, blues, R&B, all those different kinds of music, not your typical Broadway type of music. And it tells us a story from a different angle. It's talking about history, but presented by America of today. And that's what makes it unique and different. Absolutely a new twist on an old story with new music and new style of music.
What else is in store for audiences in the upcoming season?
We have so many other great shows next year. We're starting out with Aladdin. That is going to be for a two-week engagement. New Orleans does really great with family shows, and a lot of our shows next season are based around the family, and Aladdin is one of those. After Aladdin, we go into the School of Rock, about a teacher who's trying to change himself and changes the school and forms his own rock group with the students at the school. The unique part about that show is the kids are playing all the music right on the stage, right in front of you. So there's no band in the background playing. It's all the kids playing the music. From that, we go into On Your Feet in November of this year. On Your Feet is the story of Gloria and Emilio Estefan, Miami Sound Machine, where they came to America with nothing. They made it, and they almost lost it all. This is the background of the story that people never saw before and have a chance now to see. We go then after that one into Elf, the musical. The children are going to love the show. It's a great story about a little boy that gets in Santa's bag, goes back to the North Pole, and realizes that he really is human, and follows his tail as he comes back trying to find his father. You know, we have a few shows on the season, just two, that I get people asking a lot, bring it back, bring it back. Book of Mormon is one of those in February. We had it 3 years ago for a week, and it sold out. And people keep saying, it's one of the best shows I've ever seen. Can you bring it back? So we're bringing it back for a third time. We end the regular season in June with Come From Away. It happened over September 11, and we had the plane crashes and so forth, as we all know, in New York City. And this is a story of a small town that took in some travelers that could not land back in New York City and how they kind of adopted them into their community. And we have one additional show on the season, which is a special, and that's Les Miserables.
Wow. What does this powerful lineup say about the success of the theater only 5 years out from a massive renovation post-Katrina?
We were out of the Broadway business for 3 or 4 years because we didn't have a facility to present Broadway. We brought it back in Mahalia Jackson Theater, and we were rather successful there, having been out of the Broadway market for a while. But then when the Sanger reopened, and of course everybody knows Sanger is iconic. It is regarded as the place to go to theater in New Orleans. Broadway has been overly successful. There's a time in New Orleans history where touring Broadway shows would look at New Orleans and say, okay, we're going from Atlanta, we're going to Houston, where can we stop for a week? Okay, I guess we have to stop in New Orleans. Well, that's the way things used to be. Nowadays, since we are so successful with our Broadway series, so many shows come to us and say, okay, we're going to start in New Orleans. Where do we go from there? So thank you, New Orleans. The support that the community has shown for the Sanger has been amazing.
Sanger Theater General Manager David Skinner, thanks so much.
Diane, always my pleasure.
The upcoming Broadway in New Orleans season opens in September. More information is available online at sangernola.com. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. Jazz vocalist Zardis Nichols made her hometown singing debut in concert last year at the New Orleans Jazz Market. She is the grandniece of legendary New Orleans bassist Chester Zardis and is married to acclaimed actor Lance Nichols. She's back with an encore, a tribute concert honoring legendary singer Nina Simone. Zardis, welcome back.
Thank you, Diane. It's so good to be back.
What was it about that debut concert in your hometown last year that encouraged you to continue performing?
Well, I knew I was going to continue. That was my jumping off point.
I'm going to dedicate this song to Miss Nancy Wilson because I love her. My love has no beginning, my love has no end. No front or back, and my love won't bend. I'm in the middle, lost in a spin. Loving you.
It was an eclectic concert, and you sang the songs of many jazz greats.
Yes.
But this time you're focusing just on Nina.
Diane, you will not believe how things were happening. Nina Simone was just appearing in my life over and over again in various ways. I thought strange at the time, but actually I know when the universe has something for you, you either recognize it and flow with it, or you try to direct yourself in the way that may not be the best way. So after I thought about it, it's like I just ran with it.
When did you first discover Nina Simone?
I think I may have been 5 or 6 years old.
That's pretty young.
Yeah, yeah. My grandmother's house was always filled with music. She played everything. Now that I think about it, that's probably where my musical influence came from. My grandmother's house was known as the house of music. There was always music there, different types of music.
How has Nina Simone touched your life?
Oh, my God. I loved what Nina stood for in her activism. I loved what she portrayed to me as a young, black, dark-skinned girl with African features, that she embraced who she was. She was fierce on stage. She always believed that art should be a reflection of the times. And I admired that so much. She dared to do things that most artists at the time would not do because of the racial climate. But she stood up and she was very strong in her beliefs. Her fight was against inequality. She came up during a time when artists were celebrated, but they could not swim in the pool. They had to go through the kitchen or the back door. They could not even live in the places where they were praised. Those things I admired about Nina Simone, her free spirit.
She was considered to be the ultimate storyteller.
You know, if you look at her music and you know her life, you'll see that there's some parallels going on. And in some cases, it's art imitating life. But in most cases, it's life imitating art, because Nina Simone was quite a different person off stage. There's two sides to what we know of Nina Simone, and those that were around her and were in her life say there were multiple people, you know. But the Nina Simone that I choose to honor is a Nina Simone who was inimitable. She was just the greatest artist. And it's kind of sad for me that she's getting accolades now that she's gone. You know, people are just recognizing it. Just really seems to be Nina's time right now. She's being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in April, to which I say, what took so long? You know, this is the 85th year of her birth. So it just seems to be Nina Simone's time. The universe, I guess, was telling me these things. For me, it is a complete honor to bring her forward in my own way.
So tell us, what will you sing?
I will be singing Wild as the Wind, Feeling Good, I Put a Spell on You, Save Me, Shall I Go On?
What are the ones or one or two songs that are really close to your heart?
Oh, Diana, such a tough question, because they all are. That's why I chose those songs.
Being the ultimate storyteller, they each have a story.
They do.
Maybe there's one or two stories that, you know, really touch you.
One of the stories I like, and the song was actually written by Anthony Newley. Remember him?
Yeah.
The young English actor? He wrote Feeling Good.
It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new
That song touches me because it expresses how I really feel. It's a new day, it's a new life for me, and I'm feeling good. I really am.
Tell us about the band. Who are you being backed by?
Oh, man, I've got such a stellar lineup. I'm so pleased. I have Dwight Fitch Jr. as a music director on piano, David Polfus on bass, Trevari Huff Boone on saxophone, Ed Wills on guitar. I have T.J. Norris on trombone, Alexi Marti on conga, Olga Wilhelmine Munding on violin. And I have some backup singers, too. Kiota Piku, Lakeisha Glover, and I have Polanco Jones, Jr. And my special guest this time is Craig Holiday Haynes. He's flying in from New York to do the show with me. I'm so excited about that. He's an internationally known drummer and a descendant of royalty. He's the son of Roy Haynes, who played with everybody. Roy Haynes right now, I think he's either 93 maybe, And he's still playing. He's played with Sarah Vaughan. He's played with John Coltrane. Craig Holiday Haynes has sat at the feet of royalty in his home.
Now, you have some celebrity in your background. Your great uncle?
Yes, Chester Zardes.
The legendary New Orleans bassist.
That's right. Yes, yes. Internationally known also.
What is the experience that you are hoping for concertgoers?
Those who are coming for Zardes will learn a lot about Nina Simone. I just want to spread the word about her music, teach you something that you may not know. And even if you know her, maybe you'll learn something more about her, because her life was very, very complex. She was a unique artist.
Jazz vocalist Zardes Nichols, thanks so much.
Thank you, Diane.
I sing just to know that I'm alive. I play just to feel that I'll survive. And this death that's taking place, well, hollowness is just a case. I sing just to know that I'm alive.
Zardes Nichols pays homage to legendary singer Nina Simone Friday, March 23rd at the New Orleans Jazz Market, 1436 Areca Castle Haley Boulevard. More info at lanzardisproductions.ticketspice.com. That's LANZARDIS productions.ticketspice.com.
Mouse, they don't move, no they don't. And the people, they can't dance and they won't. She shunk, we she shunk. I sing and I swing. I sing just to know that I'm alive.
That's our show for this week. Support for Inside the Arts comes from the Helles Foundation. Our program is a production of WWNO and is archived at wwno.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette on Tuesdays at 1 p.m., Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m., and a shortened edition on Thursday mornings at 8:45, when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.